Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we see the importance of Christian unity in Romans chapter 15, verse 5, because Paul prays for it. And therefore, it's obviously a matter of high priority that he not only prays for it, but that he records his prayer so that the Romans can read his prayer and read what he's praying for. And here's what he prays. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the unity that Paul is talking about is not total uniformity on every issue. Why do you say that? How can you say that? How do you know that? Because I've just studied Romans chapter 14 about how to get along with brothers who differ over non-essentials. There is not uniformity. Everybody doesn't believe the same thing about dietary practices. Everybody doesn't believe the same thing about religious days. Everybody doesn't believe the same thing about non-essentials. And Romans 14 gives us instructions for how to get along in love and unity and harmony within the body of Christ among believers who differ. And so I say the unity that Paul is praying for here could not mean total uniformity on every issue, could not mean even something like near total uniformity on every issue. That can't be it. So when he's talking about being like-minded, verse 5, of one mind, verse 6, he is not talking about total uniformity. Well, what is he talking about? Well, in the first place, he's talking about thinking the same things with respect to one another. It's sort of this one-anothering idea that you find all throughout the New Testament, this love your neighbor as yourself idea. We should have like-mindedness toward one another. We should esteem our brother as much as ourselves. He should esteem us better than himself in return. And that's one way that we can be like-minded one to another, having the same concern for everyone else that you would for yourself. That's being like-minded toward one another. The way I would be concerned for me, I am concerned for you. I have the same mind, like-mindedness toward one another. And therefore, the idea of a shared commitment of love and unity. I am committed to loving you as my neighbor in Christ, as my brother in Christ, and as my neighbor. I'm committed to practicing Christian love toward you. And I'm committed to being, working out Christian unity in the body of Christ in regard to you. A whole lot easier in theory than it is in practice. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, now that's another story. Isn't it, though? Oh, what wonderful Christian unity we're going to have someday when we get to heaven. Yes, sir. All sins gone. All misconceptions straightened out. Everybody's going to understand the truth, and all of our differences are going to be gone because we'll all understand truth the way that it ought to be understood, so we'll all be unified. That's going to be a wonderful time of Christian unity when we gather above with the saints that we love, and that will be glory. But why is it so difficult to live with the saints we know here below? That is another story. Well, it's difficult because we don't see everything alike. All right, we don't. Now, how are we going to relate to our brother with whom we differ? Romans 14 tells us how. Romans 15 tells us how important it is that we work hard at this kind of Christian unity. And so the importance of Christian unity, verse 5, the purpose of Christian unity, verse 6. And the purpose is primarily to glorify God. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are to practice Christian unity, because that brings glory to God. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us, what is the chief purpose of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We are to bring glory to God. That's our ultimate purpose. How do we bring glory to God? By doing what He tells us to do. By living out what He reveals to us is His will, which is found in His Word. And He tells us, He wants us to practice love and unity among believers in the body of Christ. Our worship is damaged by disunity. We can't worship the way we should. Our testimony is damaged by disunity. We don't have the testimony before the world that we should. So how do we practice this kind of unity? Well, the text talks about one mind and one voice. We are to be united in thought. We are to be united in word. We should be thinking the same things. We should be speaking the same things. About what? Well, certainly about God. Our understanding of Christian truth should cause us to have like-mindedness in our understanding of who is the God that we worship. It ought to enable us to have like expressions, like our words about God should be the same, because we're all worshiping the same God of the Bible, and we all have the same understanding of who He is. So in thought and in voice, we can be united in our worship of God. We can be united in our understanding of who Jesus Christ is. The Bible reveals to us who He is. The Bible has much to say about the person and work of Christ, which, of course, is the very heart of the Christian religion. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is knowing Christ. Christianity is understanding who Jesus Christ is. That's revealed to us in the Bible. There's no other way to know. And the Bible tells us who He is and what He did. The person and work of Christ. That's Christianity. The Bible tells us these things. So if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we all have the same source of information. We all have the same concepts of who Christ is and what He did. And we can be united in thought and voice about that. Now, if you look to some other source than the Bible for your authority of who Jesus is, then of course you will not be united in mind and in voice. If you look to the Jesus Seminar to find out who Jesus is, you're going to have a very different concept of Jesus than those who get their information from the Bible. Because Jesus Seminar portraits of Christ differ widely from what we find in the Bible. The Jesus Seminar scholars, so-called scholars and scholars of some things, they certainly aren't scholars when it comes to the Bible. They certainly aren't scholars in that they accept and believe what the Bible says. They will accept non-biblical evidence over the Bible when they're trying to figure out who Jesus was. I've never figured out why we have any trouble figuring out who Jesus was. The Bible tells us. But of course, if you don't accept the Bible, then you're going to have to find out some other way. And so you will go to secular sources, as scant as they are, and as unreliable as they often are. But you'll accept that record, that testimony, as superior to the Bible itself. But even that doesn't give you very much information. So what you end up doing, as the so-called Jesus Seminar people have shown us what they do. What you basically end up doing is going through the Bible record, the gospel accounts, and you decide which things you think are authentic and which are not. Very subjective. You go through the sayings of Christ, the things that the Bible says he said, and you accept which ones you think he really said and which ones you think he didn't. Very subjective. No real basis for this except the things that sound authentic to you as opposed to things that don't sound authentic to you, filtered through a skeptical mind of unbelief that doesn't accept the Bible as an accurate record. In other words, because you reject the Christ of the Bible, then the things that the Christ of the Bible said that you don't like, they don't sound authentic to you somehow. Isn't that strange? Well, there's no unity in that. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to have a common source of information about God. We've got to have a common source of information about Jesus Christ. We should be speaking unitedly, thinking unitedly, and speaking unitedly about these things. We ought to be unified, therefore, in praise and worship. That's only possible if we have the same concept of God. We're praising and worshiping the God that we have a common understanding of. We ought to be united in our testimony to the world, speaking with one voice about who God is, who Jesus Christ is, about the way of salvation, about the necessity of the new birth. These are the things that we ought to be united in. If we can't be united in these things, then there's no true Christian unity. Whatever it may be that is binding us together or trying to, has got to be very artificial indeed if we are not united in our understanding of God, of Christ, of the way of salvation. And so the purpose of Christian unity is to glorify God. Now, what's the focus of Christian unity? And this takes us back to verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Here's the text for what I've been saying. The Scriptures have to form the foundation of what we believe for there to be any true Christian unity. That's the source of our knowledge. That's the foundation of our faith. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all based upon Scripture. If we don't have this common loyalty to the Scripture as the very Word of God, then it is impossible for us to have Christian unity. So, we ought to have Christian unity. We want to have Christian unity. We have to understand what we are unifying around. Not around slogans, not around the label Christian, but around certain truths about God, about Christ, about salvation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.